All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for coming. I want to thank two of my friends, Ricky, Inga, and Natanya, whose last name I don't know, for being like the on and air cover. Ricky said, "We're coming to pick you up a pen." And I said, "I could do a whole shira on just my experience waiting for the train in Cedarhurst at night," which is not something I usually do with the two not so well people there. And then coming out in the middle of Manhattan at night, which looks like morning. And then I had these two wonderful young ladies really bring me here, because I don't know if I would be here otherwise. I just want to thank you for coming, because I understand there's some other events, this farm sale and this dinner at NCSY. All right, so who am I? My name is Michal Horowitz. I live in Cedarhurst. I'll just tell you a couple of things about myself first before we start learning. How did I come to Torah? And how did I come to what I do? So I got married after Israel, and I was in school, and I got my Bachelor of Science in Speech and Hearing, and I got my Master's degree in Audiology. And then Hashem had other plans, and then I graduated when I had my second child, so I took some time off. Then shortly thereafter, I had twin boys, one of whom was born without any usable hearing, which you call deaf. I also have a hearing loss. I should have said that right in the beginning, which I always say to start out. So if you say something or ask or comment and I don't hear you, make sure I know you're saying something, please. And then I was very busy with the needs that he needed. And then when he was 3 and a half and he went to school, I said, now what should I do? I was carrying my upteenth basket of laundry up the steps. And I said, there has to be more to life than laundry at this moment. And Hashem sort of guided me in a different direction. That's really what's life in this world. I saw an interview, a 6-minute Hebrew interview. It was in Ivrit. Due to my hearing loss, it would be hard for me to understand it, but there were Hebrew subtitles, so I was able to read it, with Rabbanit Henkin. You should all know who Rabbanit Henkin is, because by now, if she wasn't famous before for her contributions to Jewish women education in Eretz Yisrael, she is now famous because her children, Rabbi Eitam and Na'ama Henkin, Hashem Yukam Damam, were murdered in a Chol Moed Sukkos this past year on Thursday, and they left 4 Yisomim. So I saw an interview with her. And she said, it was very, very moving and very, very powerful, and she said, everyone comes into this world for a tafkid. Rav Soloveitchik says, everyone in this world has a tafkid. Rav says, not everybody knows what it is. That's another story. But you have a tafkid to fulfill. It's the purpose of man. And Rabbi Nid Henkin said, you have a tafkid. She says, man did not come to this world to spend Shabbat in a hotel. Hashem does not come to you, she said, in Ivrit. Would you like this? Do you like this? Do you want it? Everyone has different challenges. As a person gets older and as they experience more life experiences, there are certainly even more challenges. So what do we make of our challenges? That's really a question of introspection. By the way, this is totally not my topic. I wasn't planning to say anything that I'm saying so far. Sometimes I get somewhere and I don't know what comes out is different than what I plan, but we'll get to the topic a little bit still. But really, what's the purpose of life? Rav Soloveitchik says every man is a tafkid. So the job of a person in this world is to bring that tafkid to fruition. The first job is to figure out what Kosh Baruch Hu wants of you. What does he want of me in this world? And he sends us messages and he sends us signals. How do we pick up on the messages? How do we pick up on the signals? By the life situations. You know, Hashem doesn't come knocking on your door. He's not standing at the top of a ladder in my dream. That I could tell you. Bine sula mutzav arzav rosho magia hashemaima. And behold, who's standing up there? Hashem. Yaakov, Yaakov. Hashem's not standing at the top of our ladder. But the life situations and the circumstances that he sends us in shape who we are. And when we say Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, what does it mean, Pokeach Ivrim? What does it mean?
Opens
the eyes of the blind. So in the literal sense, we make that Baruch every morning. It literally means I could see. Baruch Hashem, there are some people can't see. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. But it also means Hagar was thrown away from the house and her eyes were opened. What does it mean? You perceive something that was there that you didn't see before. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim means a Kosh Baruch Hu helps me to perceive a new reality that I didn't maybe see before. To learn from something I did not know was there. That's really our life challenge. So Rabbanit Henkin said, she talks to Hashem. She said, I know he's listening to me. Man does not come here to spend Shabbat in a hotel. And we have to look at the messages and the way that Hashem guides us to shape our lives. So I'm not practicing audiology, even though I have hearing loss. And I'm not practicing speech therapy, even though I could have, and I applied to go back to school. And that wasn't the direction that Hashem wanted me to go in. So I'm just going to relate this to Esther HaMalka, and then I will get to the topic of our shir. Esther HaMalka, Esther min HaTorah minayin, the Gemara says, where is an allusion to Esther HaMalka in the Torah? So what's the answer? I can't hear. I have a hearing loss, remember? If I didn't mention it already. And I will surely hide my face from you on that day. A pasuk can say for Devarim towards the end. And the Chazal say, the Midrash says about those psukim, Hashem says the psukim that speak about Hester Panim, concealment of the divine face, were the most difficult psukim for Hashem in the entire Torah. Worse than the Klalos, worse than Bechukosai, worse than all the curses were the concealment of the divine presence. Esther min HaTorah minayin, where is there a reference in the Torah to Esther HaMalka? Could be a lot of things. What is it? Anochi haster aster. Ah, aster, aster, aster. I will surely hide my face on that day because of all the bad that the people did, that they turned to worship other gods. And the Gemara says that's Esther HaMalka. What was so unique about the time period of Esther HaMalka? Hashem wasn't standing at the top of their ladder either. We all know it's very famous, the name of Hashem is never mentioned, but imagine the burden placed upon Mordechai Tzadik, and imagine the burden placed upon Esther HaMalka. Hashem never told them what to do. He never told them what to do. It was a time of concealment of the divine face. It's a time when man has to look at the messages and the situations and the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you and say, what does Hashem want from me? What can I learn from here? That was the situation of Esther HaMalka. She wasn't sure that she was supposed to go to the king. If you ask for me, I'm like this, I will go to the king. Okay, let's get to the topic of our shir. The topic for the shir was, make for me a sanctuary that I should dwell within, the journey to freedom. Very, very famous pasuk. Does anyone have any questions yet? You shouldn't be shy if you have questions, please. Vasuli Mikdash Vashachanti Bisocham, Shemos 25:8. So it's Parshas Truma. So it used to be, years ago, before I was teaching, I found these Parshios, Truma, Tetzava, Vayaka, Pakude. I mean, they're not so exciting, right? Like, there's no Shibun Mitzrayim, and there's no Makos, and there's no Kriyas Yamsuf, and there's no drama between two wives and one husband, and nobody wants to kill anybody. It's a lot of measurements, and it's a lot of kalim, and it's a lot of implements, and they seem very, very dry. But when you explore through them, there's so much meaning, and there's so many take-home lessons, and it's very, very beautiful. So we come to Parshas Truma, which is the beginning of Binyan HaMishkan. I'm just going to give you the summary a little bit. What happens in this week's Parsha? You're shy or no one wants to say? Okay, yeah.
Like the measurements for the building of the Mishkan and talks about the Aron Kodesh. And
we start with the Aron?
And just like the wood that is supposed to be used for it and like the different metals and all that.
Okay,
stuff.
Very, very nice. Okay, so it's really the kelim are in this week's parasha of the Mishkan, and in next week's parasha, Tetzav, it's primarily the Big Day Kuhuna. Combined together, you have the whole picture. We have the building of the Aron, the instructions for making the Aron Kodesh in this week's parasha. What covers the Aron Kodesh? I'll tell you a little trick. It works for me. What covers it? The Kaporas. Yeah, you with me? On top of the Aron Kodesh, there's a kaporas. It's a lid. What's on top of the kaporas? The kruvim. The kruvim. Do they use that parsha class this year? I'm not making a joke. I'm asking a serious question.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have the Aron Kodesh. This book is indispensable for learning the Sefer. It's indispensable for learning Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakam, Pekudei. So you have the Aron. Okay, we're not going to go through it. We're going to learn more Musar, Haskel lessons, Hashkafic lessons, not so much technical details. But you have the Aron. It's gold, it's wood, it's gold. On top is the cover, the kaporas. On top you have the kruvim. You have the badim that are never allowed to move. Where is Hashem Shechina rest from? In between the kruvim. What's the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he could contract? That infinite God can contract to finite space. What's the midah called?
Tzimtzum.
Tzimtzum? Is that what you said? Tzimtzum. What does tzimtzum mean?
Contraction.
Contraction. But Hashem could do whatever he wants. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Infinity. The world is not big enough to hold Hashem. Hashem is the world. Not the other way around, say the sages. And yet he could contract and rest where? In between those two kuvim. How is it possible for infinity to rest in finite, in a finite space? Tzimtzum is the ability of a Kosh Baruch Hu to contract. Does man have to emulate that? Mahu afata. Mahu rachum afata. Rachum. Just like he is compassionate, you should be compassionate. What does the Gemara say? He does gomer chasadim, you should do gomer chasadim. He does malbisha rumim. Who did he dress? Adam and Chava, you should do Malbisha Rum. He does Bikur Cholam. When did he do Bikur Cholam? Avram Avinu, you should do Bikur Cholam. He does Nichum Aveilim. When did he do Nichum Aveilim? He went to visit Yitzchak after the betirah of his father, Yitzchak Avinu. And finally, he does Kivur Mesim. When did Hashem do Kivur Mesim? Sota 14a. Vayikbar also Begai. Who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu afata. So man has to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who teaches us everything? Who teaches us chesed? Who teaches us compassion? Who teaches us din? Why, we have dayanim. Who, in fact, what's another name for dayanim? In last six parasha, mishpatim. Elokim. Last six parasha, mishpatim. Another name for the judges is Elokim. It's not an accident. Nothing in the Torah. Are you with me, ladies? Nothing in the Torah is an accident. Why? Because we emulate who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You also have to emulate tzimtzum, the ability to contract. What does it mean to contract? To withdraw from yourself. To withdraw. Rav Soloveitchik tells over a story. His father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in Warsaw, managed to obtain in the beginning of the 1900s an esrog. Cost a small fortune. To obtain an esrog in Warsaw in those days, in that time, is very hard. In that specific year, spent a small fortune. On the first day of Sukkot, his sister Shalamis picked up the esrog, and she dropped it. And it became, the pitim fell off. And Soloveitchik says, quote, my father did not say one word. He didn't say one word. That's symptom. The ability to contract from yourself. He says to spend a small fortune in an esrog is one thing. To not say one word is another thing entirely. It applies to so many situations in our life when we feel we want to act upon a certain negative midah, a certain negative feeling that we know we should not act upon. Who do we learn it from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is, what do we say in davening? HaMelamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. Hamalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik says that is the greatest midah of a Kosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. Hakal, Hagadol, Hagibar, HaVehanora is how the Almighty interacts with the whole world. Hakal, Hagadol, the great God. Hagadol, Hagibar, HaVehanora, the awesome one. That's how he interacts with everybody. What represents the unique relationship between a Kosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? Yisrael Mishpatim. Hamalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. He teaches us how to behave. Tzimtzum means contract. Tzimtzum means withdrawal. Okay, so that's the Aron. Okay? So what I was going to tell you is what covers the Aron? The Kaporas. Yeah? Moving outward, the Aron is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Moving outward, you go into the Kodesh. What separates between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh? Oh, thank you. We could come here and we'll do this together. I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. Okay, so you want to hear something good. So for those who don't know, it always troubled me because I was not able to remember which was the Kaporas. I'm saying this in all my classes this week, and which was the Parochas. It's the Parochas. So I'm going to tell you a trick. If it works for you, it works for me. I was very happy when I realized it. It's just a silly little thing that works. Kaporas is the cover. No, I'm not joking. It works. Kaporas is cover of the Aron. I'm being serious. I'm teaching. It's in my notes. Parochas is the partition. If you have trouble remembering, like I always did, the Kaporas is the cover, and the parochas is the partition. Moving out of the parochas, you move into the kodesh. What's in the kodesh? We left the kodesh HaKadoshim. And what's in the kodesh? Three kelim. Okay, so you have the golden mizbech, you have the shochan, and you have the menorah. And then moving out, of course, into the chatzar, you have the mizbech and the choshas. Okay? And mizbech and the choshas was for animal sacrifice. Golden mizbech was for ketoros. Only ketoros. And smoke and ketoros. Rech nicholach lefanai. What's the point of the mishkan? So there's a difference of opinion. Point of the Mishkan, there's a difference of opinion. There's one opinion that says, you know what the purpose of the Mishkan is? After sin, what happens when man sins? What happens to man's relationship with God after sin? What happens after I speak a word of Lashon Hara? I shouldn't have spoken Lashon Hara. But I did.
It's weak.
But I did. What?
It weakens, you feel like.
It weakens the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the point where it causes the Shekhinah to leave. The Shekhinah cannot be where there's sin. How do we know that? Because Kabbalah says everything's in Sefer Bereishis. Everything first happened in Bereishis, and then it happens in future generations. So after Adam and Eve sinned, what did they hear?
I
want
to
say? What?
Ayeka.
Oh, after the question, yes. But it says, Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalich began l'ruach hayom. Now, we can't really understand what that means, okay? But they hear the voice of Hashem, God, walking in the garden by the spirit of the day. God's going for a walk. What do you mean he's going for a walk? So the Kabbalistic sources say God is leaving. When he first created the world, it was going to be Iker Shechina Batachtonim. It was going to be him and man in the Garden of Eden forever. One thing you shouldn't mess up. Don't eat from the fruit of the Eitz HaDas. 999 trees you could eat from. I don't really know how many trees there were in the Gan Eden in the beginning. One tree, don't eat from. On the ninth hour, Chazal say, of creation, of his creation, Adam sinned. The ninth hour? So on the one hand, we could be despondent. What hope do we have? But that's not Chas Sham. We're hopeful people. That's not. We don't go to a sense of Yeish. What does it mean? Vayishmas kol Hashem Elokim mishalach began l'ruach hayom. Now it's Iker Shkina be'al yonim. God and man can no longer be together. I cannot be, the Almighty says, in the presence of sin. Man has to have constraint. Man has to be refined. Man has to follow the rules. Who gave us everything we have? The Almighty. There are rules. You have to follow the rules. You don't follow the rules? Goodbye. Iker Shechina Be'elyonim. Vayishmus Kol Hashem Elokim Mishalich Began L'ruach Hayom. He leaves. You with me? Where do we see another example of this? Sari Imenu. Sari Imenu laughs. I need to get a brace so I can tell you the exact motion. But I'm not going to exactly where it is. Thank you. So Sara Imenu, the Malachim come, and they say to Sara, you're going to have a baby. Atitzchak Sara Bekirba, Sara laughs, and she says, Acharei Belosi, V'haisavi, Edna, V'adoni, Zakein, I'm withered, he's old, I'm going to have a baby. What are you saying? So she laughs. So Hashem comes, and he says, why did she laugh? So what does she say?
She didn't.
She says, I didn't laugh. Okay, after she laughs, it's Bereishis Perek Yitchas, Parshas Vayera. How's everyone doing? Okay. Sometimes they ask me for a topic. It's very hard for me to give a topic. But that is exactly what I'm going to talk about. Well, we're talking about the journey to freedom. What's freedom? What's the end of this shir? Bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back. If sin makes him go away, then freedom has to be a life with Hashem. If you have a life void of Hashem, you don't have a life. You're alive, but it's not life. Okay, so I want to tell you something. In Parashas Vayera, I want to tell you the exact lashon. Ready? Parashas Vayera, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes Vav, chapter 18, verse 15. Atichachish Sara Limor. Sara denies. Lo tachakti. Did she laugh? I didn't laugh. She was afraid. No, ki tachakt. You did laugh. Do you know what the very next words are? Perak Yitches Pasuk Tazayin. Don't go onto Mechon Mamre website and then tell me you know the next pasuk. Vayakumu misham ha'anashim. The men get up and leave. But the men were not men, they were malachim. Rav David Holzer says, this is another example. She laughed. She denied a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now please understand, we're talking about Sari Imenu. I'm not Chalila passing judgment on Sari Imenu, God forbid. It sounds ridiculous to even say in the same statement, but we learned something. For her, on her level, you don't laugh when Hashem says something. We're not even going to get into the laughter now and what she was laughing at. But you laughed, Vayikumu Misham HaNashim, the representative of the Almighty, leave. Man and God and sin are a contradiction. They can't be together. So according to one opinion, is everyone with me? What was the purpose of the Mishkan? Purpose of the Mishkan was you did Chet HaEgel. Right? You just heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim mapanai lo tinaf, because doing Avodah Zarah is a form of niuf, a form of adultery. Because Har Sinai is a chuppah. Har Sinai is a marriage. So if you do Avodah Zarah, you just cheated. Who did you cheat on? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So there is one mahalach and one opinion that says the Mishkan is a tikkun. Hashem, after Chet HaEgel Kaviyachal, left the people. Now it's back to Ikar Shechina, Be'al Yonim. And what's going to bring him down? What's going to bring him down? The Mishkan. But he can't dwell in every person anymore as an individual. He needs a central location in which to dwell. What's that? The Mishkan. What's the root of the word Mishkan? The root of the word Mishkan? Shin Chaf Nun, Shechina. Now he's going to be your Shechin. God's going to be your neighbor. In Lashon HaKodesh, when you have the same root word, and the words seem to have nothing to do with each other, there's always a connection. Shechina and Shechin, God, and my neighbor are the same root word. Isn't that a little strange? Did you ever think of that? That's very strange. It's not strange because just like you're very close to your neighbor, it's not supposed to be. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is not supposed to be someone who lives 500 miles away or 5,000 miles away. Kodesh Baruch Hu is supposed to be Rai Kaviyachal, next door. Even closer than next door. My thanks to Chet Vaslansky for teaching me that about Shechina and Shechin, and I've repeated it so many times since she first taught it to me. And there's one Mahalach, and the Ramban says in his introduction to Parshas Truma, is everyone with me? Have any questions? You having a good time? Not everyone's nodding yes.
Yeah.
The Ramban says in his introduction to Parshas Truma, what are you talking about? The Torah is not out of order. No one mentioned that. If you're telling me it's a tikkun for Chet HaEgel doesn't come till after Truma and Tetzaveh. In Kitisa, we're going to come up today. That's also very, very exciting, very dramatic. But if it came before Chet HaEgel, this isn't a tikkun for Chet HaEgel. The Torah is in order. Naturally, after Yisra Mishpatim, in the journey to freedom, naturally we need a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell amongst us. You understand the difference of opinion? One is it's a tikkun for a sin. Because sin causes God to, I'm going to take a question in a minute, go away. Yes?
What does tikkun mean?
A repair.
Okay.
A repair. During the time of Sefiras HaOmer, we learn Pirkei Avos. We are supposed to be misakin our midos. We are supposed to correct or repair our character traits as a tikkun for the students of Rabbi Akiva, as a repair for the students of Rabbi Akiva who did not have kavod, respect for one another. Clear?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions, please feel free to ask me. I'm going too fast, or you don't understand something, or you want to comment, just stop me. Thank you for coming. So the other Mahalach says, what are you talking about? The Torah is in order. It's not that God, what do you mean? According to that opinion, it means there was never supposed to be a Mishkan. If we wouldn't have done Chet HaEgel, there wouldn't have been a Mishkan. The Mishkan was the precursor to the first Beis HaMikdash, which was a precursor to the second Beis HaMikdash, which was a precursor to Bayis Shlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, which we're waiting for. We're waiting. It's very hard. The opposite of Adar is Av. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Mishanichnas av, mima'atin besimcha. Opposite of Adar, it's okay, is Av. I was in Eretz Yisrael the week before last. Did anyone ever take a tour of the newly renovated Chor Vashol? It's unbelievable. We are very in sync tonight. Unbelievable. And at the end of the tour, if you have the schus to go, pay the 20 shekels for the tour. Don't do it yourself. They tell you so much. At the end of the tour, you know, the Churva and the Rova and the Jewish quarter in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, the destroyed shul that has been rebuilt and then destroyed, and then rebuilt and then destroyed. B'chol dor v'dor amdim meleinu chalasinu. They take you, there's a ledge actually around the arch. So 2 years ago, I paid 10 shekels to go to the roof of Eish HaTorah. This is even better because you're even higher. And what can you see when you look onto Har HaBayis? You could see people walking on Har HaBayis. I'm not talking about our people. And the guide says, oh yeah, I'm really on a tangent, but we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And the guide says, there's Har HaTzofim. You can look, I could show you a picture on my phone. There's Har HaTzofim, there's Har HaBayis, here's me. So what came to mind? What does the Gemara say? Rabbi Akiva was walking with four rabbis. Kevan shehigiu lahar hatzofim, once they came to Har HaTzofim, they tore their clothing. And you can see, standing there, how they must have felt. Well, I can't imagine how they must have felt. But you could see Har HaTzofim and you could see Har HaBayis. You could see standing there. Kevan shehigiu lahar hatzofim, and I told my kids what the Gemara says, they tore their clothing. Shu'alim hilchubo, they started crying. They say the place where the Kohanim stood, the place that brought Truma and Tetzavim, Vayakum Pakude to life, the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim housed the Aron with the Tzimtzum, with the Shechina resting there, the place of Karbanos and the place of Tefillah. Shu'alim hilchubo, we shouldn't cry. So Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Why are you laughing? So he said, if the prophecy for destruction came true, the prophecy for redemption will come true. So next time in Eretz Yisrael, inshallah be zocha to be there very soon, I'll just tell you them better than I'm not posing. A day to our kriya and Har HaTzofim. It's more meaningful to me. You should ask Hashem first. Not to tear kriya at the kotel, because you don't sense the destruction when you're at the kotel. But you should pay the shekels to go up to Eish HaTorah, to the roof of the Churva, and look onto Har HaBayis like Rabbi Akiva looked on 2,000 years ago. And you could still see foxes prowling there. And there you can tear kriya. Because you see the magnitude of the destruction. Av is the opposite of Adar. But we're in Adar. But we're waiting for this third base of Mikdash to come down. So the other opinion says, how could you tell me that the Mishkan is only a Tikkun? The Mishkan's not a Tikkun. The Mishkan was supposed to be from the beginning. It has to be. We traveled through, what is Sefer Bereishis called? Three names for Sefer Bereishis. What?
Sefer
HaYetzirah. Sefer HaYetzirah, it's the book of creation and the book of formation. It's not Sefer HaYetzirah. It means the book of creation. Not only the creation of the world, but the creation of what? Of the Uma Yisraelis. The creation of Klai Yisrael. The creation of the Shiftei Kav, the Avos and the Imaos. The creation of Eretz Yisrael as the promised land. Sefer Bereishis is also known as Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight. Who was Yashar? The Avos. Who is to be Ashar? We have to be Yashar. Straight. Be a straight person. Rosham Shem Father says Adam Kasher and Adam Yashar says refresh. That's what man is to be. Kasher and Yashar. Ben Adam Chaverim, Ben Adam Makam. Sefer HaYetzirah, Sefer HaYashar, and according to the Ramban, Nachmanides, Sefer HaSimanim. What does that mean? The book of omens? Ooh, no. It means Kamasha Ira La'avos. Whatever happened in the book of Bereishis is going to happen in future generations. Hi, three names. So we journey through the book of Bereishis with all the emotion and the ups and the downs and the creation and the destruction and the angels and the sibling rivalry. Esav's chasing him and is he going to make it? And all the Shvatim and the rape of Dinah and the love between Yaakov and Rachel, beautiful Rachel, and the drama with Yosef. We love Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Yashar, and Sefer Simanim. We come to the Shibud Mitzrayim. It was a terrible time, the Shibud Mitzrayim. If you learn it properly, it was reminiscent of Nazi Germany. If you learn it in depth, the way the Torah is speaking to you, you're going to Germany in the 1940s, into Europe in 1941. Nirpim ata nirpim, lax, you're being lax. Now we're not giving you bricks, now you have to meet the quota. Kol ben yilado yarta shlichu. Am I 70 years ago? Am I 4,000 years ago? That was Paro. He was the precursor. He was the mastermind. He was the first one who thought of infanticide and slavery of the Ummah Yisraelis. But then we were freed. So we're talking about, we're supposed to be talking about the journey to freedom. We are talking about the journey to freedom. Now we're supposed to be. 30 minutes already. 30 minutes. So then we were freed. Baruch Hashem. Shalosh ani aved. Wow, I'm no longer a slave. But if freedom ended with Kriyas Yamsuf, then Sefer Shemos would have ended with Parshas Beshalach. You understand what I just said? If freedom ended with Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamas Amalek, then what would have happened? Then get to Beshalach. Shmos, very bold Beshalach. You have the Shibud, you have the Malkus, you have Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have Korban Pesach, you have Man, and go to Sefer Vayikra. We're done. Because if Bereishis is called Sefer Yesira and Sefer Yasha and Sefer Simanim, what is Sefer Shmos called? You know what I say? Sefer HaGeulah. The book of freedom. That means the theme has to continue through the entire book. Does it end in Beshalach? Of course not. Yisro Mishpatim Chuma Tzava Kisisa Vayakov Pekude. It means it's a process towards redemption. So the Ramban says, after Parshas Beshalach, we come to the Torah, we come to our Sinai. You want me Torah? What's written in there, said Esav. Don't kill? Not for me, says the Medrash. What's written in there, said Moav and Ammon. Don't do adultery? Sorry, they're certainly not going to abide by that, right? Who are they born from? The father. That's written in there, says Yishmael. Don't steal those signals. Sorry, not for me. On the Torah, Hashem says to Klai Yisrael, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem, Na'aseh v'nishmah. You want to hear a nice word? Na'aseh. Root word, I in sin. What Esav rejected, Na'aseh, we will do. Nishma, what Yishmael rejected, we will listen to, we accept. So freedom culminated with Ma'amad Har Sinai. Now we're married to who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's more to freedom, and that is what? Binyan HaMishkan. And that's giving Hashem a central place to rest amongst us. It's different than the first opinion. The first opinion says it's a tikkun for sin. This opinion says it's not a tikkun, it's always meant to be. If you want to know what freedom is bringing what? The Shechina down. The Ramban says what happened on Har Sinai is now microcosm in the Mishkan. Hashem descended Kaviyacha onto the mountain by Har Sinai. He's going to descend, so to speak, into the Mishkan. He spoke to Hashem from the top of the mountain. He's going to... Hashem spoke to Moshe from the top of the mountain. He's going to speak to Moshe from where? From the top of the Kruvin. So now we have the Mishkan. So the Mishkan is a process leading to freedom. Can I just... I could leave this here for now. Thank you. So when it came to the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, and Hashem said to Moshe, speak to the children of Israel, v'yichu li truma, and take for me a... portion, a donation, me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu liba, from every man whose heart, as me, desires him to give. Any questions? You with me? Ve'ichu li truma me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu liba, take a truma from every man whose heart motivates him to give. So there's a classic question on ve'ichu li truma. What does it mean, ve'ichu li truma? Take from me a portion. What should it really say? What should it say? He should give me a portion, not take. Are you with me? And then we have a whole list of supplies that we need. We need zahav, kesef, nechoshes, we need gold, silver, copper. We need wool, ram skins dyed red, we need tachashim skins, we need spices, we need oil, we need shoham stones, avnei meluim for the breastplate. We need a lot of things. What does it mean, v'yichu li truma? They shall take from me a portion. That's not what you say. I don't say, could you take something from me? I say, could you give it to me? So what's the answer? The answer is, when you give something in Ruchnias, you're really what? taking something for yourself. When you give in ruchnias, you're not giving away. You're actually capitalizing on your investment. Hopefully your investment is rare in the OMMs. You are taking something for yourself. And interesting, I just put the Chumash down, but where's the first place we see this? Maybe not the first place, but where do we see this? Going back to Vayera with Avraham Avinu. Going back to the beginning of Perek Yitches in Bereishis. So Avram's recuperating from his bris milah. He's very upset because Hashem took the son of the sheath and he doesn't have any visitors. And it's boiling hot. Hashem's trying to do him a favor, but he wants to do Achlas Yisrachim. So Hashem sends three angels. So what does Avraham Avinu offer them? First thing he offers them? What's the first thing he offers them? You don't know or you're shy? Don't be shy. I'm not intimidating, please. I know it's the first time we're learning together, but come on. What's the first thing he offers them? Water. It's the first thing he offers them. Yes, first he tells them, don't pass by. What does he say? Take some water. Of Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik of Racha, the previous yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva's Mir Yerushalayim, was very sick for the last 20 years of his life. He was afflicted with Parkinson's. And he refused to take medication because the medication would affect his memory. And he wouldn't take medication because it would affect his ability to learn Torah. Very sick. Physically sick. So a visitor once came to his house, fellow Rav. So Avnasan Tzvi was trying to open the seltzer to pour the Rav a cup of seltzer, and he couldn't get it open. So the visiting Rav became very upset, very agitated, and he said to Avnasan Tzvi, I don't need the seltzer. So Avnasan Tzvi said, quote, I have an obligation to pour my guest a drink. If you don't want to drink it, that's up to you. You know why I'm telling you this? It could change your Achnas Yisrachim. I hope it will change your Achnas Yisrachim. You kach na ma'amayim. I don't want to drink. Don't do chesed because of what the other person wants. I emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the schar of this, actually, the Gemara says, Hashem supplied us with water in the desert, with the Be'er Miriam. And that's since we quote, I have an obligation to pour my guest a drink. If you want to drink it, that's up to you. Until he managed to open the seltzer and pour him a drink. So the first thing Avraham Avinu says is, you kach na ma'amayim, wash your feet, rest under the tree. And then he says, Perek Yitches Pasuk Hei in Bereishis 18:5, Ve'ekcha pas lechem. I will take a portion of bread. I'm going to take a bit. Do I say something? Could I take you a sandwich? I'm asking you a question. Does that make sense? What would I say? Could I give you? Can I bring you? Can I give you something to eat? You want to wash? Here's a bilka. Have a sandwich. Shal shuris. What would you like? Not ve'echa pas lachem and ve'sadu libchem. Let me take bread and you will satiate. That doesn't make any sense. So I saw in a beautiful sefer, and I can't remember, a few years ago, a contemporary sefer out of Eretz Yisrael, something Aaron. We learn from here, when you do a mitzvah, you're not giving something to somebody else. You're giving something gashmis, perhaps, in this sense, to somebody else. What you're taking for yourself, ruchnias. When you give the guest the bread, he gets the gashmis bread. It's important. You should give him the bread. You should give him the water. You take for yourself a portion of ruchnias. So what does it mean, v'yichuli truma meis? Is everyone with me? Asher kol ish, meis kol ish asher yidvenu libo. Take from me a portion from every man whose heart desires or motivates him to give. What was the Kosh Baruch Hu saying? I'm giving you a chance to take for yourself part of this Kedusha. I'm giving you a chance to take for yourself a portion in the Mishkan. Kaviacha, I'm just joking. Not really. But you know, you go into place and it says the name of the donor. They're taking for themselves a portion. So Hashem says, I give you an opportunity to take. So what does it mean, me'ez kolish asher yidvenu libo? Whose heart motivates him to give? What's the root word? Since we're speaking about root words a little bit today, Mishkan, Mikdash, what's the root word of yidvenu, the root? Nadav, nun, dollar, base. What does nadav mean? As a Nachshon ben Ami Nadav, what does it mean, nadav? To give. to volunteer, to give of yourself on behalf of somebody else. Why is it such a perfect name for Nachshon ben Aminadav?
Because he went to the woman first.
Ah, Aminadav. What was his koach? His ability to give of himself on behalf of the Tifa, Masachos Sota 37a. The waters are raging, and the mitzvim are here, and the water's here, and Klal Yisrael is here. And nothing's happening. And Moshe says, Yisyatzuvuru es Yeshua Sashem, stand by, God's going to save you. Doesn't look like God's saving anybody. 2 million people are standing there with the waves and the crashing and the Egyptians and the horses. Imagine the pandemonium. So the Gemara says, you know what the Gemara says? Every tribe is standing on the shore saying, Ein ani yorei tchila liyam. You would think they're saying, I want to make the Kiddush Hashem. You know, in like the edited version or in the revised version, they would all be saying, I'm going in first. You know what they were actually saying? I'm not going in there first. Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yarad liyam techila. Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped up and he went into the sea first. Why is it a perfect name for him? Aminadav. He had the ability, the desire, the koach to give of himself on behalf of the nation. And therefore, there was Ocha to Malchus. A king has to be willing to give himself on behalf of the nation. So what does Me'esh Kal Is Asher Yudvenu Libo mean? Every man whose heart motivates him or desires to give. Where the contributions for the Mishkan under coercion or voluntary. What does Me'esh Kal Is Asher Yudvenu Nadav Libo mean? Did anyone force Nachshon ben Aminadav to go in? He volunteered to go in. He took the initiative to go in. So let me ask you again now. By the collection for the Mishkan. It was forced, it was required, or it was volunteer?
It was volunteer.
Volunteer, whatever you want to give. If you want to have a part in this journey to freedom, knock yourself out. If you don't want to, it's up to you. Rav Soloveitchik says, the collection, you listening? The collection for the money for the Mishkan is different than the collection of money for charity. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, charity, when we think of charity, tzedakah, we tend to think of doing chasad. But the root word of tzedakah, we're talking so much about Shorashim today, the root word of tzedakah is not chasad, it's tzedek, justice, as in tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Tzedakah is an act of justice, not compassion, not mercy. Justice means you do something because you have to, because the judge said, because there's a law. The Torah allows, do you know this? It's very, very interesting. The Torah allows taking charity by force. Are you aware of that? There's an explicit halacha in Bava Basra AB. It is permissible to remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity even on Erev Shabbos. Did you hear what I said? You must force a person who does not want to give tzedakah, who can give tzedakah, everyone has an obligation to give tzedakah. It's not chesed, it's tzedek. It's righteousness. The Gemara says you can go take out his belongings from his homes even on Erev Shabbos to force him to give tzedakah. On the other hand, the contribution to the Mishkan was totally different. The contribution to the Mishkan was not like that. If you wanted to give, you could give. If you didn't want to give, you didn't have to give. How long was this? It's 43 minutes, 44 minutes.
How long you want.
I have to catch a 10:08 train. I'm joking. I'm not keeping you until 10. I could, but I'm not. I don't mean I could. Like I mean I enjoy. Therefore, I could. So why in our journey to freedom? So we really are talking about the topic. Why in our journey to freedom is it voluntary? Why don't they force me to give? Zahav kasef u'nechoshas. Why don't they force me to give? Tcheles argaman tola shani sheish izim. Why don't they say, you have a ram? You give the oros tachashim. That's the tachashim. You have a ram? You give the oros elim adamim. The ram skin's dyed red. You have copper? We need some copper. The woman brought so much copper, they made the kiara. Ooh, that would have been also very nice. Sure. Okay, not today. Why don't they force you? Why is it Meis Kalisha Shar Yidvenu Libo? Why do we emulate Nachshon ben Aminadav? Why? So I want to quote for you from Rav Soloveitchik's Lashon because it's very, very powerful. Ready? The Rav says, quote, man basically is a homeless being. Did you hear what he said? No matter where you live, you're basically what? A homeless being. No matter how large and opulent his home, he is exposed. He is subject to nature. And nature, says Rav Soloveitchik, is at best indifferent to man. At worst, nature is hostile to man. Think, Rachmana Litzlan. God forbid, we all have, I'm sure you all have, we all have names for a Fleshlema. Somehow it seems the list keeps getting longer instead of, unfortunately, the other way. My daughter just told me she is in 7th grade. She said their list is so long, it takes the teacher a few minutes just to say the list. Rav Soloveitchik says, man, no matter how large and how opulent his home, he's an exposed being. He is subject to the winds of nature. Nature is indifferent to man at best, at worst, hostile. The future is unpredictable. The future is unknown. If we knew the future, we would be at the top of the world. There's only one home where man gains security. And where is that? Rav Soloveitchik says, there's one home where man gains security. Man is called Me'ona in Sefer Devarim, an abode. Quote, the only home where man can find security is in the Ribono Shel Olam. Therefore, Hashem told Moshe, don't make the people give. Don't force the people to give. Do the people want a part of this home? I'm paraphrasing now his words. Do the people want to take security and comfort in the walls of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home? Because any other home is transient. Any other home is fleeting. In any other home, no matter how strong you think the foundation is, man is an exposed being. Quote, the Rav says, the only home where man can find security is in the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, the Mishkan was to be built if the nation wanted to build it. The Mishkan is to be built by people who wanted to have a part in building the home for Hashem. The Mishkan is built by contributions. Me'esh kal ish asher yidvenu libo. Those people who journeyed to freedom and wanted to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu down. He says Hashem was willing to do tzimtzum, right? We already spoke about tzimtzum, the act of self-contraction. Infinity is willing to limit himself to a finite space only if the people wanted it. Only if the people agreed to contribute. Therefore, it had to be Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo. But what was Hashem basically saying? Giving you an opportunity. Ve'echa paslachem. Ve'echach paslachem. I will take ruchnius for myself. Tikhu li truma. Do you want a part of ruchnius? Do you want to be a part of my home? Soloveitchik says in a certain sense, it's so beautiful. He says, God lives at 12 harabayas. And I live at 13 Harabayis. And we get along very well. Shachin, Shachina, have you brought a Kodesh Baruch Hu into your life and into your home? It's the only place where man has security. 1 second, please. Rachat ha Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abidvaro. Okay, so now we understand why Melachas HaMishkan is tied to our journey to freedom. Because really you could say Truma Tetzava Vayaka Pekudei should be in the third book of the Torah. What's the third book of the Torah? Vayikra. What's Vayikra known as? Torah's Kohanim. Because it's the laws for who? For the priests. Aside from Parshas Kedoshim, which is relevant for all of us. What do I have to do? I know about Karbanos? Every year I say at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, I'm teaching in my classes, I quote a Rav Shmuel Golden. And he says, when people find out he's writing, he was writing Unlocking the Torah Text, which you could get at the Sfar himself, I don't work for this farm, so I'm just telling you, you could get it there. Very, very beautiful, very nice insights on the parasha. So his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, which I quote every year, is that when people hear he's writing a commentary on the parasha, say, Bereshis is easy. Shemos, very nice. Wait till you get to Vayikra. What does Vayikra have to do with me? Not so much. So Truma, Tetzava, Vayakra, Pekude should be in Torah's Kohanim. It should be in Vayikra. But not if we're understanding a way of understanding today. Not if we're understanding that our journey to freedom, the apex of the journey to freedom, the most holy point of the journey to freedom, is not leaving Egypt. And it wasn't Kriyas Yamsuf when we spoke about Nachshon Ben Aminadav. And it was Mamad Har Sinai. But Mamad Har Sinai was the marriage. I'm not making that up. That's what the commentators say. V'hu kechasan yotze mechupaso. He is like the chasan who goes out from the chuppah. What happened at Mamad Har Sinai? Kafal Eim Har Kigigi, Shabbos 88a. What was the mountain? The chuppah. What was the ksuba? The Torah. Who was the married couple? Kosh Baruch Hu, B'nai Yisrael. But after marriage, what does the couple need? A home. After the marriage, where are you going to live? Where are you going to be private? Where are you going to be not exposed to the whole world, but protected by each other? After the marriage, the natural outgrowth is Truma Tetzava Vayakon Pekude. And therefore we're understanding that the journey to freedom must include the home of the Mishkan. Because without the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Shachein, there is ultimately no freedom. We'll tie this in very briefly to Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka, we already spoke about the time for Hester Panim. She lived in a very hard time. She didn't know what to do. She was married to Mordechai. What does the Gemara say? Al tikri levas, ela levayas. Don't read it as she was his house, but she was. Don't read it as she was his daughter, but rather she was his house. What does it mean? Bayas, she was his wife. Nice Jewish girl living in Galus. We could relate. We're all nice Jewish ladies living in Galus, and she's married to the God Adar. And Achashverosh has a contest. Every maiden has to come before me. And the guy is very strange. You have to spend months in the perfumes. Months in the perfumes before you could come to the king. It must have smelled very bad after months in the perfumes and the makeups. And he's a contest. And who does he like more than any other maiden in 127 provinces? Oy vavoy. A nice Jewish girl, Esther Hamalka, and she gets called to the palace. She's crowned queen. And she lives in a time of Hester Panim. We also live in a time of Hester Panim. Is God at the top of your ladder? Literally, no. But we have to make a Mishkan and let him in. And that's why these parashios are relevant for every Jew in every time, in every place, in every location. From Shushan to New York, the Torah is speaking to you. You have to be mikdash, vasuli mikdash, make yourself holy, says Rav Sham Shamfal Hirsch. V'shachanti besocham, if you make yourself holy, says Rav Hirsch, the Shechina will dwell within. He will come to you if you make him holy. Esther rose to this task. Rav calls her a frail Jewish maiden, on whose shoulders providence placed the burden of responsibility. A frail Jewish maiden upon whose shoulders providence placed the burden of responsibility. And she says, I'm not going to the king. I'm fast forwarding. I see the time. She says, I'm not going to the king. And Mordechai says to her, Mi yodeim eis kazos higat b'malchus. Who knows if for a time like this you reached, maybe for this whole reason, your royalty. Maybe for this whole reason, your queen. Remember, we started the shiur right in the very beginning by saying every person has a... Who remembers? It was like almost an hour ago. Every person has a tafkid. Look at the signs around you in your own personal life. Look at the signals that Kosh Baruch Hu send you. It's true, literally, he might not be at the top of your ladder. But metaphorically, make him your shachain. Bring him into your home. So Esther agrees. Leich knosos kol Yehudim. Go gather all the Jews in Shushan. Al tochlu v'al tishlu shloshos yamim. Don't eat and drink for 3 days. I'm an even our Messiah Tsum Kane. Me and my maidens will do this as well. Uvechein avo al HaMelech. Like this, I will come to the king. Which king is she coming before? Which king is she coming to? The King of Kings, Melech Malchim, Malchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After she makes herself Kadosh, Atila Basha Esther Malchus, after she dons royalty, she goes down that long hallway, Keli, Keli, Lama Azav Tani, she cries out, Capital 22, Perich of Beis, my God, my God. What does it mean, Lama Azav Tani? What does Rav Sham Shem Fal Her say? What does it mean?
Why did you leave?
What does Lama Azav Tani mean?
Why did you leave?
Why did you leave me? That's the literal word. Rav Sham Shem Fal Her has a tremendous word. Don't read it Lama. Read it Lema. Why did you abandon me? Could you ask why of God? Could you ask why I went to Shlomit Krugman's Levaya in Eretz Yisrael? You know what she was? She was 23 years old. 2 weeks ago, she was shopping in the Makolet on a Monday night. Tuesday at 1 p.m. was her Levaya in Har HaMenuchot. Does it help to say, Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtani, my God, why have you abandoned me? Does Hashem answer why? Lema! For what purpose is my suffering, says Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch. For what purpose is my nisayon? For what purpose is this situation? Introspection. Look at the situation. Look at the nisayon. God, what do you want from me? For what purpose is my suffering? Said Esther Hamalka. Uvachein avo al hamelach. With my teshuvah, with my fast, with my tefillah, I will come to the king. Recognize your tafkir. Make yourself holy, vasuli mikdash, make yourself kodesh, and the reward, the zechus, the merit will be v'shachanti b'socham. If you make yourself into that abode, then you'll be zocha to the tzimtzum of the Almighty. You'll be zocha to hasharas hashchina. You'll be zocha to salvation will come, salvation and deliverance will come. Mimakom acher. What does Mordechai tell her? Ki macharish tacharishu be'esazos revach v'atzal yamad la'yehudim mimakom acher. Esther, you might be his shaliach. But salvation ultimately comes from who? Ultimately and only comes from makom, the place of the world. We make ourselves holy. We will be zocha to the Mishkan. We'll be zochet Hashem being the place of the world, as Rav Salavitcher teaches. We are exposed, but in the house of Hashem, we're always protected, ensconced, and secure. Are there any questions or any comments? Is everything clear? Okay, so I want to give you all and all of Klal Yisrael a Birkas Hadyot. I like to end my shiurim with a Birkas Hadyot. We should be zochet to double Adar. And we should be zocha to not hester panim, but giloi panim and giloi shechina. We spoke about the Mishkan and the Mikdash. We should be zocha to see the binyan bayis shlishi. It should be b'mher b'yameinu. If it's a double adar, it should be a double dose of simcha for all of Klal Yisrael b'chol makom shehem. Amin v'amin. Thank you, ladies. Any questions?